Well, amen. Good morning. It's when you normally expect to get a good morning back. It's a little different. Thank you. Thank you guys for leading us in worship. I do hope that you try to sing, even if you're by yourself or with others. Maybe having just one or two others might be awkward. But I do hope that you sing, that you may even want to consider getting up, getting dressed, get prepared for worship, as this is the best that we can do at this point in time. And we pray that God will take this virus away quickly and that we will get back to whatever normal will be. But I do know how we long for one another, and that is so encouraging. My community group this past week put high pressure on going, man, we want to come home, come over. We will get on your back deck. We'll keep 6 feet apart, you know, and just we'll fellowship and do our community group together. And I'm going, man, in some sense, I'm all in, but I can't for the example of the rest of the church. We are trying to follow our leaders and do the things that they ask and be wise. And so we do long to be together. So if you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 to go back and go over some of the verses that we covered from last week, tie in the verses that we will look at this morning in verses 7 through 10. So we're in Hebrews chapter 5. Let me read verses 1 through 10. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became all to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we come and ask that you do a work, even through technology, that your Spirit is with us here and in the homes, and you are there. We pray for the one who doesn't know Christ as Savior and Lord that may tune in today, that their eyes would be open, that your Spirit would move, and that they would come to Christ today. And God, we just pray that you bless the reading of your word, the power of your word, and that you will use it to glorify yourself. Guide my thoughts and my hearts. May they be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Not going anywhere. I just dropped my notes. Last week, Pastor Rush, whom I love, my pastor, I love to hear him preach. God uses him greatly in my life, giving us a great love for one another. And he preached on Jesus is our true and better high priest. A couple of the points was Jesus was appointed by God, ultimately, to sacrifice for sins. Jesus was appointed by God. He had that appointment. It is a God-given appointment. It is a calling. All the high priests, even in the whole Old Testament, were all a call by God. Jesus is appointed forever. He is becoming high priest forever. No more high priest. He will do this job and complete it, and there is no more high priest. He is our high priest. He challenged us, keep moving towards the mountain of your high priest in Jesus, the massiveness of knowing Jesus and continuing to climb that mountain. Press in. Our joy in Jesus. Keep pressing into Jesus. He is our King forever. We want to know Him well. Oh, the magnitude of this mountain of knowing Jesus and loving Jesus. Don't settle. Don't settle. Keep pressing in. And as we pick up in verse 7, we read, and it says there again, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience and from the things which he suffered. There's some tension here in these verses right here that we look and we see God, and you see Christ is fully God and yet fully man. There is this tendency that we talked about that's hard to explain. That's not going to be my purpose this morning. I'm not sure I'm wise enough to do that for you. But to recognize that and to recognize it in a way so that we don't discount, well, he's Christ. Yes, I know he suffered, but. So when I go to suffering, and then as we talk here in a moment about prayer and supplication and all that Christ has done, I don't discount the fact that he understands, that he knows what it is to suffer. He knows how to walk through suffering. We know that as now we go to the throne of grace, he knows exactly what we need. Sometimes there's this something within us that we kind of say, well, yeah, but he is Jesus. Yes, he is Jesus. But he is there. He is our great help. And oh, how he suffered. Suffered as no one has ever suffered. Persecuted, beaten, crown of thorns on his head. When you read this passage, that's where you go. But in the days of his flesh, all the days of his flesh, it's not just this one. He knows what it's like to suffer in our likeness in the way that we move and walk through days. He knew what it was to not have a place to lay his head. He knew what it was to be forsaken by his closest followers. He would thirst. He hungered. He got tired and weary. So he knows us. He knows us and knows what we go through. And he was suffered. Ultimately, the crown of thorns, bearing his cross, crucified, forsaken by the Father. Great, great suffering. And what did he do in his suffering? Point number one, Jesus, our example in appointed suffering. He offered up prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to one able to save him from death. Prayers and supplication. He offered up. What are our prayers like? Do we offer up with open hands, making requests or trying to change God's mind or change what needs to be fixed here? What is our attitude as we go into prayer, that we offer up those prayers in supplication humbly, earnestly? You ever times where there's tears as we pray? In days that are difficult and they come in and there's suffering that's involved and there's hurt that's going on, there's uncertainty that is happening, there are tears that are shed. Have you ever prayed and cried out loudly? Here's Christ himself in suffering, crying out loudly. As you think of that in the garden, the other ones who didn't pray didn't fare so well. Prayer is tough. It's a battle. Sometimes it's easier than others. But it's extremely important, and I hope to try to center us back to that again today. In prayers and supplication and loud crying. If you will go ahead and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Verses 5 through 9. I do a fair amount of counseling. I have done more since meeting Pastor Rush back at a former church where we served together. I was challenged about biblical counseling and took my classes to get better knowledge and somewhat certified to try to help people. And as a pastor, to try to encourage and help those. And we see that in that people come and there's a lot of fear that's going on. Right now, there's a lot of fear that is taking place. There is a lot of anxiousness that is taking place. You're uncertain. I think if somebody would tell us going, hey, in 3 weeks, this will be all over, we'd be good. That's great. Kind of gotten in, gotten to know the control, I can manage. But the uncertainty of not knowing, and seeing and watching it grow and grow. And so there's this anxiousness, this fear. I see people that come to me and having marital problems and the things that come to us. And if you go, and especially those who are anxious, here's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Period. The Lord is near in most troubles, and especially in difficulties in relationships. You start to see and hear what's going on. The Lord, for those folks, is not near. He has long since left. Their relationship with God has waned tremendously. Matter of fact, their hope is so much, like there's so much devastation and trouble that we're here and God's here. And there's no way we'll ever get this fixed. And that is so untrue. Bring God back in and God is near. God is working. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's the answer, and it seems simple. It doesn't seem like, hey, this is really difficult. If you want to get over your anxiousness, and those who really struggle with anxiousness, who have anxiety attacks and things of that nature, you're thinking, it's not simple. And I understand that. And there's ways that we try to walk and help as you counsel. But by prayer and supplication, most people never come to me going, man, I spend so much time in prayer. I'm crying out in tears. I'm crying out with a loud voice. And I'm not getting any help. I don't hear that. Christ, our example, is sitting here and he's showing us in suffering, in times before suffering. But the God of peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, you can't even imagine, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of you, repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So much there I'm not going into, but the God of peace will be with you. Not just that he gives us our peace as we come and we pray and we ask and we humbly bow ourselves at the throne of grace where grace lavishly overflows on us. Mercy is given to us. But God himself will be with you. The one who knows suffering, the one who knows what you're going through, knows exactly what you need. He's given us the example and going, this is important. Don't minimize this. Yes, I know I should pray. Yes, 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 I know. Yes, yes. Sometimes with great intensity. Christ did. Jesus' habit was to pray. His lifestyle, his love, Mark 1:35 tells us he rose early, left the house, he went to a secluded place. It was a priority. It was something that he loved to do, that he He longed to be with his Father. He did it as he did ministry. He prayed as he healed people. He taught his disciples how to pray. Back in Hebrews. He prayed to God, the one and only true God, his Father. Don't take it for granted. There's others that don't believe that. There is one God, Creator, in control of all things. It's our Father. It's our Father. He prayed to the one. And it is our Father. It's the same one that He's made access now for us and to enter into that we pray to, who is in control of all things. He is a God who could save him. He said here, He is able to save him from death. The one who could answer his request. Father, take this away. He could. What would have become of us had God answered Jesus' prayer? We go and we offer our prayers and sometimes He doesn't answer the way that we want Him to answer. Here's a time where Jesus Himself goes to the Father, and yet not my will, but your will be done. And it's more, that is in entering in and offering up. And we do, sometimes we are in the will of the Lord and we're asking for the right things and God does answer in ways that's gone like, wow, that's great. But He's just as good. He's just as loving, just as kind. You're seeing one of the greatest suffering experiences ever and turns into unbelievable glory. What would have happened to us had God answered Jesus' prayer? I think mostly we probably do a pretty good job when things are suffering and things are tough about praying. We probably get more diligent in times of suffering when we pray. We may not pray totally the way that we should, but we are at least going and hopefully seeking the will of God. In prayer and supplication, sometimes it's work with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, don't leave that out. Thanksgiving is part of the reason why we end up in sin. Thanksgiving is a great remedy to sin. I cannot be angry with my wife and continue in that anger or frustration or just, even if it's not coming out, it's bubbling within me. If I truly go before God Almighty and say, hey, man, I am so thankful for this woman that you gave me. You cannot. It's not possible. I guess it is possible. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But we go and we have the one that sits and knows and who prays for us, makes intercession for us and knows exactly grace that is needed, the answers that are needed, the things that He is working in us. Your application is, how is our prayer and supplication? How is your time with the Lord? We will all sit here and immediately go, huh. Obviously, it needs a lot of work, man. It just does. Good, start somewhere. Love, getting along with the Lord. Love, going and being with Jesus. Do, examine, make some necessary changes. We all can grow in this. We will all grow in this till the day God calls us home. But at least this week, in all of this trouble, pray, examine, look at your prayer life. Make some changes. Make some good changes. Be spending time with the Lord. On behalf of others, not just us. Point number two, Jesus was obedient to his appointing. In verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Here he is, and he's gone talking from being high priest, and now he's the Son of God. And he's learning obedience from his suffering. Even the Son of God was not exempt from suffering. Suffering is God's plan and method for our holiness and our Christ-likeness. How do you respond when suffering comes into your life? Take it away, take it away. No, 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 no. We embrace, we embrace, we embrace. Why? Because we know what God's doing in suffering. That's hard. That's not easy. We prefer ease, or at least I prefer ease. I'll change, I promise. Now, I'll spend more time in prayer. You know, you just take this way, I'll be more faithful. I'll share the gospel more. It is God's method. It's his plan. You see it here in Christ. Jesus learned obedience. Fully man, fully God. There seems to be this tension. Jesus learned obedience. We do know when he was younger, he grew in wisdom and stature. Here, it's hard to imagine Jesus learning obedience. Jesus never was disobedient. It wasn't like he was disobedient and then he became obedient. That's not what it's talking about. What I think it's talking about here is that he was tested. Jesus is being tested in this process, in this appointing that he has been called to complete. This plan of salvation, this gospel that will come out of all of this, he will be tested. He will be proven. He will be proven in this process. Jesus will be moving from obeying without suffering to obeying through unspeakable suffering. He'll be proven to be obedient. He'll be proven to be perfect. He will be proven so that, yes, he is our great high priest. He is. He'll be proven to be perfect in the sacrifice that he made. In the atonement for the sins, that he will accomplish the work of salvation. He will be proven King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He will be proven the great Savior, the only one. There's only one way to come, and it's through Jesus. And you look at this work, that's what this writer is just keep continually writing, 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 and going, look, this is who he is. This is who he is. This is what he's done. And he did it perfectly. My man crush, John Piper, I was called that by one of our staff people here, Josh. He has one, but I won't say anything. But I was looking, and Piper makes this statement about this. The gold of his natural purity was put in the crucible and melted down with white-hot pain, so that he could learn from experience what suffering is and prove that his purity would persevere. Jesus never performed such an act of obedience. That's why he knows. That's why our prayer and supplication, you go. He knows. Never performed such an act of obedience. This was no fake test. This was nothing. Oh, yeah, he's Jesus. He's going to get through it. Everything in the whole universe depended on this whole test. Obedient to death, death on a cross. Go back to Philippians, our public reading. Not going to read it all again. Starting in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God in a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly, highly exalted him, bestowed on him a name that which is above every name. Through prayer, supplication, humble request, offering up, being obedient in that act and in that moment, crying out and learning that in my prayer I'm longing for the will of God. I know what my desires are. I think my desires are godly. I'm trying to see and I'm going to God and I'm asking and I'm humbly experiencing and requesting and saying, your will be done. And coming out of that, the reason it is important because that's what leads to active obedience. That time is so crucial. That time in His Word, because we know and we see in His Word what the will of God is. There's some things we don't even have to pray about. We may need to change our heart. And the heart is, what's your attitude? You have children? You want to know what attitude is? Children show you attitude. Right? Especially as they get older and go through the middle school years, their brains quit working for a couple of years. You know, you even look at them going, what are you doing? I don't know. They're not lying. They really don't know what they're doing sometimes. They will cop an attitude on you really quick. And what is it? Everything in them, their whole attitude, this is what's controlling me and my desires. And application. We need suffering to teach us humble submission and obedience. Our application, examine your attitude. What's my attitude? When these things come, is it that I go and I go, no. I know. I humble myself. I follow this example. Christ has given me this example. Had this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was obedient perfectly. Again, examine, spend some time this week. What's my attitude? When things press in, we talk a lot about heat. We were going through in our ABF, how people change and the things that come in, and then heat comes in on us, and then what flows out of me, and what is my attitude? Am I quick to think, oh man, I need to be like Christ. I will humble myself. I will exalt them over my needs and my wants, my desires. We had a man suggest the other day in our community group on Zoom. We didn't meet. We weren't on the deck. What are you going to do with your stimulus money? Josh prayed to help one another. Am I going to hoard it? Am I going to go buy me a bunch of stuff? I told him, I said, I already got mine spent. Man, he ain't got it yet. I said, why do you have to talk about this? Why do you have to bring this up? Or is my heart, my attitude is, wow, here is totally unfound money. Maybe somebody else needs this money. Maybe the church can use this money. And those who lost their job, don't you feel any guilt or pressure? What a gift from God. What a gift from God. He's going to supply through a wicked government. He's going to meet your need. It's our money anyway, so we got to stop. We got to stop. But what are you doing? Those are the things I'm talking about. What's my attitude? Is my attitude in like Christ Jesus that I lay my life down? Point number three, Jesus perfectly completed his appointment. Verse 9, for this reason, I got to go back. I'm still in Philippians. Go back to Hebrews. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Having been made perfect. That's again, attention. He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. By his sufferings, he was proven to be perfect. He went through the crucible that God gave to him, and he became the perfect, spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He was made the author of our eternal salvation. He was consecrated to his eternal office of high priest. He was declared, he was made sacred, consecrated by his own blood, perfect sacrifice, perfectly completed his appointment that was to be performed here on earth. He did all that the Father asked him to do perfectly. There are now no condemnations for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who will obey. A new covenant. No more high priest. No more sacrifice. It's been done. It is finished. And God said, yes, look, I will highly exalt him. I will set him at my right hand. The work is completed. It is finished. It is done. And I'll give him a name above every name. Jesus. Perfectly completed his appointing. Designated by God. Perfect high priest. Perfect King of Kings. Perfect Lord of Lords, perfect Savior. Look at the mountains. This just keeps piling up. Look at Jesus. And when we come to Christ, he is all ours. He is ours. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He is the internal source of salvation. Salvation. He's talked about he has now revealed the mystery out of the Old Testament, and we now see clearly. Here's the gospel. Here it is. It's salvation. To all who obey. This is not just a knowledge of Jesus. You can climb this mountain and know a lot about Jesus. You can know a lot of facts, but you don't know him. You haven't confessed to him. You haven't, yes, I'll take Christ, save me. I believe in my heart, God raising from the dead, you will be saved. Believe today. Believe. But it goes even beyond that. Not that there's stuff to do for salvation, but that salvation bears fruit for all who obey. We are saved to follow his example. We are saved to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk worthy of the appointing. You know you've got an appointing. It's not like Christ, but Christ saved you for an appointing, for works and good deeds, to exalt him, to glorify him. That changes your attitude in the way that we live and the way that we do things. It's worthy of my soul, my life, my all. Follow his example. We humble ourselves. We take up our cross, an instrument of death, and we follow him. We crucify ourselves daily, moment by moment. Self rises up so easily. But my attitude is, no, I will crucify that. Humble myself and allow God work in me for the good of others, for the sake of the gospel, for his glory. Learning through suffering, through prayer, supplication, humble obedience, starting to see the, I don't know that we would say the white hot crucible, but the suffering is there to come and to purify me. To purify my love for Christ, who is worthy, our perfect Savior, King, Lord, Ruler. And he's going to come and get us one day. He's alive. He's been raised from the dead. Oh, how worthy is of our lives. Purify me. Purify my love. Make me just like Jesus. Jesus suffered. Jesus was proven. He was proven to be perfect. He's not only the author of the eternal salvation, it is an eternal salvation. He is the author and finisher. Jesus is our great joy, our great love, our great example for us to follow, our great helper who sits at the right hand of God. And even when I don't pray right, He intercedes for me. He's interceding for us even right now with the Father, for each one of us. Oh, do you know this Jesus? We've been on this since December. We preach about Jesus, and we're doing it all the time. Some passages more direct than others, but it always ends up, it's about Jesus. Rush made a comment in a message here just about 3 weeks ago. I went back and looked, and I wrote in one of the notes, he goes, it now changes to a person. I know what he's doing. He's talking about the way that he was preaching and the points, but I'm sitting there going, in my mind and in my seat, I'm going, oh, no. It's always about a person. It is always about a person. You get in trouble, you've left the person of Jesus Christ. Even in our struggles, you've got to have and know and cling to that person who is the helper. He can save you. Do you know this Jesus? Were you able to sing that song, Hallelujah, What a Savior, from your heart? Or were they just words that flowed out and you have no idea what it's like to be saved? Fall down on your knees, sit on your couch, wherever, whatever you're doing, but cry out and say, I believe. I see you are King, you are Lord, you are Savior. I need you. I have no hope apart from you. Take Him right now. And then Zoom somebody. If you got a question or, call them, whatever you do. Don't text. Voice to voice. Let somebody help you. Answer those questions. FaceTime. Oh, come to Jesus today. This world is hopeless. It all got stripped away. And look, they're all fearful. They asked the president the other day, hey, people are fearful, what are you going to do for them? He can't do nothing for them. He can't guarantee anything. We're going to make a lot of wise decisions, and we're doing everything we can to try to make people stay healthy and to make this thing end as fast as possible. You can control this. God can send you another one and start wiping out twice as many. There's only one person who can control this. And He's doing it for a reason. And I think part of that is you need to repent. If you've had your hope in the things of this world, open your eyes. Remember those who may have shared the gospel with you. This is all going to go away. And then what? Then what? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. You'll either do that as a saved person or you'll do it as a lost person bound for eternal hell and punishment. Oh, look at the great love that's been demonstrated to you. Come to Jesus. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, just a couple reminders and we'll be done. What are you meditating on? Going back over the messages. We seem to hear the message. We try to apply it this week and then we move on. No, you keep building. What are you meditating on? You meditating on all the news and all the updates? Or are you meditating on the Scriptures? This week, Romans 8, 24 to 39. There's your hope. There's your hope. Read it multiple times a day. By the end of the week, you've read it so much you can almost memorize it. You can almost quote it. Take it in. Eat it. Digest it. Feed on it. There's your hope. Nothing, no virus, no nothing can separate me from the love of God. Here or there. Nothing. There's your hope. There's great hope. Share that with others who are in fear, who are struggling. We have an answer. There is an answer. And it's a hope. It's a hope in Jesus. And this is the perfect work that He has accomplished for us. Keep moving towards climbing that glorious mountain of knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, walking with Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Keep pressing into Jesus. These are the things that He's talked to us about the last several weeks. With all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength. Jesus is mine forevermore. He is just mine right now. As He will be in eternity, I'll just get to see Him face to face. God Himself will come down and He will walk with us. Oh, you want to come to Jesus. Be encouraged, followers of Christ. Work on these things. Keep pressing in. I hope that you'll sing this next song. I hope that you will watch every single word. I hope that you will worship God. That this truth will overwhelm you. Don't shut down. Finish out. Worship God as we sing this last song together. Father, thank you so much for your word and so much just in a little space. What a great Savior, a perfect Savior who came and he took on that flesh. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He provides for us. He's promised everything for us. May we be encouraged today. We cry out on behalf of those who don't know Christ. Come today. Your Holy Spirit, please bring great conviction. Open their eyes. Cause their dead heart to beat. May they cry out and say yes to Jesus Christ today. What a glorious Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.